Chapter 39 Ephraim Lion's Den. It sounds like the damn world is ending. Clustered outside the domed gold shuttle, in the centre of our trap, Volga, Dano and I look up and feel the fear. Two escort rip wings chase after the downed Augustan ship. The blast door above us locks closed as the first round of gunfire pelts its reinforced surface. The shuttle plummeted a kilometre through the city, drawn downward faster than the speed of gravity by the fleet-grade Sun Industries gravwell. The machine gripped the shuttle as soon as the EMP Kobachi built into the custom drone went off inside the shuttle. We almost lost the ship twice on the descent, as its rotation made it drift out from the gravwell's projection radius. Dano wrangled it back by increasing the gravity to 4 times Earth grav. Aside from the shuttle, the gravity beam pulled down a deluge of rain. 7 flyers, a forest of shrubs from balconies, 7 clotheslines and 3 shattered hoverbikers, who died by smashing into the floor at 900 kilometres per hour. All that haul lies in a broken bone and metal soup around the shuttle in the garage of a half-completed lower West Hyperion hospital. Dano kicks one of the shattered hoverbiker helmets away from the breach we've burned into the shuttle's hatch. The head is still inside. My stomach knots up. I'm back in the block war. Digging through debris, boots stomping over rubble and bits of men, gasping like a dying fish, lungs starved from the thermobaric burrow bombs that eat the oxygen out of the air. I tear my eyes from the disembodied head, thankful for my helmet so my crew doesn't see my horrified face. I didn't take the Zolodone tonight, afraid that the stomach cramps would knock me flat. I'm already feeling too much. The blast door shudders above us as the escorts pour more munitions into it. Soon it will buckle. We've 4 minutes before a rapid response team of Hyperion's counter-terrorism watchmen deploy from the 12th Cohort headquarters. Already there will be armoured bodyguards jumping from the escorts, searching for some other way into my metal trap. I stare into the mirage of heat as our breaching device burns a hole in the hull. Volga, armoured in a military-grade chestplate and helmet, pulls the breacher off and slams a steel and lead battering ram into the metal. It caves inward on her 3rd swing. She tosses the ram aside and moves into the ship. The green magazine globe of her plasma rifle's barrel glows as she primes the generator. Dano goes in next. I follow with the omnivore in my trembling hands. If even one of the nasty bastards inside didn't get knocked flat by the anacine gas, this could turn into a bloodbath. Trig run through on a gold's razor, men crumpling like cans to power hammers, ozone and burning flesh as the gold skins my team alive. My hands shake harder. The ship is upside down and black inside. It looks like a party gone wild, all the revellers having drunk themselves to insentience right where they stood. Bodies still buckled in their crash webbing hang upside down in chairs from a ceiling that was once the floor. Others are sprawled atop each other in a living carpet with eyes that shine like fountain coins up at me. We pick our way through the arms of servants and leather-faced killers in tuxedos. The anacine 17 has made the muscles in their bodies, including their eyelids, unresponsive. Only their lungs and hearts still work, allowing them breath so shallow they look dead. There's no movement. My heart slams in my chest. We push for the forward passenger compartment in search of the prizes. As Dano bounces around the ship with a gymnast's ease, Volga and I climb over the body of a titanic gold with a red beard and almost step on a fox the size of a large child. It lurches up at us, snarling. I shout in surprise and kick it as it lunges. It flies down the aisle and onto Dano's leg as he hangs with one hand from one of the upside-down passenger headrests. He screams and falls down. "Get off me! Get it off!" He flails, falling to his back, and points his gun at the animal's skull, ready to blow its head off. Volga pushes the weapon aside and pries the fox's jaw open to free Dano's leg. "I'm gonna kill it!" Volga ignores him and grabs the flailing fox by the scruff of its red coat and locks it in the cockpit. We hear it slamming against the door as I haul Dano up. "What the hell was that?" Dano shouts into his comm. Blood dribbles down his leg. "Shut up. Work." Amidst a thick human shield of bodyguards and goals, we find the prize. "He's here," Dano says triumphantly as he limps forward. "The little shit is bloody well here." He says it like he doubted it. He's not the only one. The intelligence was too good, the plan too big, the stakes too high, the players far too nasty. Yet it's all slick and clean. Even I smile when I see the prize. The boy hangs suspended upside down, paralyzed and wrapped to his seat in crash webbing. Blood leaks into his hairline from a long gash on his forehead. He's smaller than I expected, no giant like his father, but still, at 10, he's almost Dano's size. He's dressed in a tuxedo with a gold lion clasp at his neck instead of a tie. His eyes stare at us in terror, limping and muttering curses to himself. Dano roughly cuts the clasp off, pockets it for a trophy, and then starts cutting the crash webbing as Volga keeps her gun on the paralyzed bodyguards. We pull the boy from the seat. Dano hoists him over his shoulder and carries him out of the ship as Volga and I find the secondary prize 3 seats up. The slender gold girl has a hatchet face and deep-set, angry eyes. Unlike the boy, she shows no fear, just absolute, unmitigated hatred. She's promising me a slow death with that look as I cut her free of her crash webbing and cut the bleeding sun brooch from her jacket. I can't resist patting her on the head. Volga puts her over a shoulder and departs the ship. I stand alone in the dark vessel, listening to the thunder of their escorts against the blast door. Littered around me are the powerful and mighty who thought themselves untouchable, thought themselves gods. A dark, unexpected thrill shoots through me as I realize I've humbled the lot of them. I step atop the giant who the fox was protecting. The massive man has big iron on his hip, a razor, just like Ajar's. My boots smudge dirt and biker blood into his tuxedo. A Telemannus, I recognize him now. I turn to regard the cluttered cabin, wishing they could see my face and know that a lowly grey has driven them to their knees. "Reap what you sow," I say in a thick red Martian accent. "Give my regards to your masters, my good men." With a deep and courtly bow, paying all homage to gold manners, I hop off the Telemannus and dip my gloved hand in a pool of blood gathered around the head of a wounded bodyguard. I press the hand into the wall, leaving a blood-red handprint. Blame placed, I walk toward the passenger compartment. Time for the part I've been dreading. I find Lyria lying amongst 3 other servants who have the misfortune of being unbuckled from their crash webbing. One has a broken neck. Lyria stares up at me in the darkness. To her, I'll be a masked shadow, unrecognizable, with a glint of metal in hand. But I feel as if she and she alone can see through the mask. She'll know that Philippe did this to her, and she'll tell them. I can't have them piecing it all together. My life will be over. Make it clean. I point the omnivore at her head. My hand shakes. Sweat trickles into my eyes inside the humid helmet. She looks up at me blankly. Even in the darkness, she can see the gun. She accepts it. There's no wild fear in her eyes, just sadness. Resignation. Pull the trigger. Pull it, you son of a bitch. What's wrong with me? I've killed men in cold blood before. I was all professional when I explained the plan to the others. It needs to be done. I'll wrap it up nice and neat, I said. You can't pull a testimony from a corpse. Pull the trigger. It'll be quick. She'll feel nothing. I told myself I'd do it without the Zolodone, that I'd sack up, I'd own this. I close my eyes and see her little smile to herself back in that restaurant as she ordered that last flight of oysters. It was like seeing a child laugh at an adult's joke. So proud to feel accepted, but still self-conscious, wondering if their ignorance will be found out. Why did she have to smile like that? Like him. Fuck it. I pull the trigger. Nothing happens. I look down at my gun. The safety is still on. I almost throw up. I'm shaking, backing away from her, my stomach all tied up in knots, disgusted with myself. Idiot. Shoot her. Shoot her. I can't. Not twice. I holster the omnivore and turn to leave. I'm halfway out the door when I stop. I'm a bastard to leave her here alive. It's worse than shooting her. The Lionheart will peel Lyria apart. They'll think she's a traitor. What are you doing, F? What are you doing? I watch myself from a distance as I rush back toward her. She's light as a child. I carry her out of the ship and join my friends at the bottom of the ramp where our Junker hover car waits. Dano sits on the hood with a pistol in hand. What the hell is that? He says. I ignore him. He blocks my way. This isn't part of the plan. Shut up and get in the car. The hell's your damage, you old flit? Lose your stones? Dano reaches for his pistol. I'll do it for you. Wait in the car like a good little... I level the omnivore at him. I will shoot you in the fucking head. Get in the car. I step forward. No, Ruster. What? Dano steps back in terror, but not of me. I turn to see a hulking mass emerge from the hole in the ship, all shoulders and thighs. The Telemannus with the red beard slumps there, held up by his hands on the door, his legs butter from the anacine, his eyes filled with hate. I drop Lyria and raise my pistol. The anacine slows the man. He fumbles for his razor before giving up and lunging forward like a drunk bear. He hits me in the sternum so hard, my vision flickers black. My gun flies from my hand and I'm lifted off my feet. I slam down into the floor, skidding into a wrecked flyer. From the concrete, I watch as Dano pulls up his gun and shoots the monster twice in the chest. The bullet goes through his tuxedo and slaps into the ship. It doesn't stop him. Stumbling, the gold reaches Dano. He grabs the top lip of Dano's chest armor, holding him still as the red claws desperately to escape. Then the gold swings a lazy punch. It hooks in from the right, casual, almost like an afterthought. The reinforced knuckles cave in the side of Dano's skull. His head lolls, ear touching the opposite shoulder. A white root of spinal cord juts upright into the air. Drenched in Dano's blood, the giant hurls Dano's corpse to the side and turns his horrible bulk to me. He takes an awkward step and is blasted sideways as Volga fires through the windshield of the air car. The plasma stream hits the gold in his side, melting through his arm and hurling him off his feet into the ship's hull. Volga rushes to me as I try to stand. There's a dent the size of a grapefruit in the center of my chest armor. Several broken ribs scream as Volga hauls me to my feet and drags me into the car. Torch the body! Get the girl! I say through gritted teeth. Volga stands over Dano's body and holds down the trigger on her rifle. Concentrated energy melts through Dano's corpse, leaving a steaming heap of crackling tissue and oozing bones. She rushes back to Lyria. The red girl issues horrible moans from her paralyzed throat toward the big gold man on the ground. Volga throws her in the trunk. She grabs my gun from the ground as I stare out the windshield, as the gold impossibly pushes himself up to his knees. The flesh of his right side melts off the bones. Anacine pumps in his blood, but he's still trying to stand.
"Pikes!"
he roars. The room vibrates as ships try to pound their way in through the roof. "Drive!" I shout at Volga. "Drive!" She jumps into the driver's seat and slams on the pedal. As we shoot away into the darkness of our escape route, we hear the door finally give and crash down into the garage. Volga drives at breakneck speeds through the half-constructed hospital, faster than Dano did in our practice runs. We weave between support beams and equipment as I stare out the back of the car, watching in terror for pursuing airborne knights. I hold my chest and wheeze like an egg. Dano's head caved in like an egg. After a kilometre of switchbacks and vertical elevator shafts leading to connecting buildings, we reach the staging ground in the abandoned canning warehouse and pull up in front of a makeshift clean room, metal frame pipes with plastic sheets enclosing it. I half expected a dozen syndicate thorns to be waiting for us with heavy weapons and Gorgo at their head. But they want to stay as far away from this shit show as possible. Our headlights illuminate Sira, standing nervously with the two needle-thin contractors I met two nights ago. They wear operating smocks, one a violet, the other a yellow.
"Where's Dano?"
Sira asks as she comes to greet us from her mobile station. A dozen holograms from cameras she placed fill the air around it. On the hollows, the hospital is swarming with soldiers come for the boy. The cameras inside the garage have gone black. "Dead," I say.
"How?"
"Gold." "Shit, shit, shit," Sira says under her breath, as Volga drags the children out of the back of the vehicle straight into the clean room, where she loads each onto a table. Inside, the syndicate technicians move with haste. They slice open the children's clothing till they are naked. No, not children. They're killers in training. I know what they'll become. Ghouls that pop heads like eggs. Without even thinking, I pull out my dispenser and pop several Zolodone in my mouth and crush them between my teeth. They fizz, and I feel the cool fire spread against my tongue and the inside of my cheek, radiating into my blood vessels and carrying the warmth down into my body, sending chemicals to my brain to kill the fear and the pain in my ribs. I exhale a calm breath and look back at the car where Lyria lies inert. I turn my attention to the technicians. We're on schedule, but the schedule doesn't feel fast enough anymore. I shouldn't have wasted time in the ship getting Lyria. Dano's neck breaks again. I grimace and glance at the holograms. A flight of armored soldiers is landing around the hospital, just four buildings from where we stand.
"Hurry up,"
Sira says to the syndicate men. "Don't distract them," I say. "Recheck the detonators, then get out of here." I don't have to tell her twice. Sira's hoverbike whines as it departs through the escape tunnel. Only when I'm sure she's gone do I go back to the junker. I haul Lyria out and move her into the back seat of our clean car, a 10-seat taxi that sits next to the other rides. I take out our bags and dump our change of clothes onto the floor, then lean back in to speak with Lyria. Her big red eyes stare up at me. "You've been drugged with Anacine 17. It will last another hour." I consider the Telemannus. He was four times her body weight.
maybe less. We're going to meet some very bad people. When the drug wears off, do not speak, do not move. If you do, they'll kill you. Afterwards, if you behave, I'll take you wherever you want to go and give you enough money to start a new life. On the Zolodone, my voice sounds like a robot's. It's a lie, I'm telling her. She'll be hunted forever, but I'll still give her a running start. She deserves that, at least. Do you understand? She can't blink or move. Hate is all she can manage. Good. I stack a bag on her face and cover the rest of her body. Even beneath the Zolodone, I know I will hate myself later. I know the look in her eyes is one I'll never forget. Add it to the pile. I strip my gear and toss it into a metal barrel and dress in one of my black quarterband suits. Volga, strip and burn, I say when she emerges from the clean room. She dumps corrosive acid into the barrel after she's stripped her gear. Found it? The yellow with a metal sniffer nose says inside the clean room. Right shoulder blade? The violet, this one with multi-hued chimeras tattooed onto either side of his neck, finds the mark, and soon two wicked-looking drills whir to life. Metal burrows into skin. The children whimper through numb mouths as the syndicate contractors dig out the embed tracking devices with forceps. Tears tumble out of the children's paralyzed ducts. The men toss the bloody little chips into a container. The baby naked and ready to roll, the violet says. Double check for radiation stains, I say, gingerly feeling my ribs. Don't be sloppy. After they've finished, the two operators shove the children into plastic smocks and then drag them out of the clean room. The knights on the hologram jump into the garage through the hole punched by the ships. The operators leave the children with us and depart in their own vehicle, taking it through a subterranean tunnel that links with abandoned tramways. Volga takes both children and loads them into the back of the taxi, laying them parallel on the seats as gentle as a mum tucking her kids in for a nap. She lingers there, looking down at them. Volga. She jerks her head up to glare at me and slams the taxi door hard enough to rattle the glass. Fuck you too, I say calmly. I leave her to go activate the timer on the explosive charges outside the clean room. 30 seconds starts ticking down. I activate the charges in the junker car, toss another next to the barrel for good measure, and hop in the driver's seat of the taxi as Volga tosses one of her charges into the clean room too. I follow the path of the syndicate operators down into the tunnels. If you gotta leave the field, do it in style, I mutter without heart. Soon as the old drill instructor's words are out of my mouth, the concussion of the charges going off shakes the tunnel. A second set of charges goes off a minute later at the tunnel's entrance, collapsing it behind us. We drive in silence, Volga pinched in the seat next to mine. The high of the heist died with Dano. Neither Volga nor I expected to survive this, and now that we have, the weight of living comes crashing down on the big girl. She rolls down her window and closes her eyes, sticking her hand out into the wind like it's a dolphin riding the waves. She sits 6 inches from me, but we might as well be worlds apart. Cold, fetid air from the tunnels rolls through the car. We pass ramps going down deeper into the undergrid of the city. The tension works its way out of my jaw, but the sight of Dano's blood on the fists of the gold oozes through my skull. Volga links her data pad with the taxi and turns on Ridovecchi. As his piano plays a gentle melody and we carve our way through the darkness, tears stream from her eyes, but not from mine.